Welcome to Life Lab with David Ponder and Zach Schaefer. We are the podcast of Experience Experiments.
We give you those experiments via change challenges at the end of each episode.
We created this podcast because we wanted to talk about important topics that can help us all live meaningful lives.
You might agree with what we have to say, or you might disagree. But the point there is that you get something new to think about.
There's no edits and no gimmicks. Our entire point is to help you take action and live a better life.
You only get one life to live, so you may as well make the most of it. Hello, and welcome to Life Lab. I'm David Ponder.
I'm Zach Schaefer.
And today we're talking about a topic that is important that everyone has to deal with in their daily lives, in their relationships with others, and like most of our topics, deals with the emotions and how you feel after a certain event.
Yeah, I think this, without this, relationships couldn't exist, at least in our modern form.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. I mean, it requires empathy, requires, you know, kind of stepping back from the situation, viewing it as a third party, a lot of things. And what we're talking about today is forgiveness.
Yep, absolutely. What does forgiveness mean to you?
I mean, I looked up the definition.
Well, of course you did.
Because we always give definitions on this show without looking at it, because I just copied and pasted. Forgiveness to me is letting go. I think those two words are pretty good with it. But it's an informed letting go. It's to me, it's choosing myself. Choosing yourself.
Interesting. For me, the entire point of forgiveness, not forgiving, is because we want to be self-centered.
Yeah. That's funny. That's funny you say that. But I think people who are trying to be self-centered by not forgiving don't know themselves well, aren't very introspective, and don't realize that by holding on to resentment, which is what they're doing when they're not forgiving, is hurting them more than it's hurting anyone else.
Yes. No, I like what you said, and I'm in agreement with it. It's funny because I went that route for thinking about it.
I think most people who hold on to resentment and don't forgive, you know, in big situations, you know, big public situations, maybe it's a criminal trial where, you know, they or their loved ones were harmed or something like that, you know, when they get interviewed, in our society, it's almost expected and, you know, I don't want to say glorified, but, you know, they're like getting quote unquote justice or something is like the first thing that every media story that would talk about that event would talk about. And
That's interesting. I didn't even think about, because when we pick these ideas and then we start framing them and we build a mind map for how we're going to make sense of these ideas in our head, Dave and I don't talk. We just dive in and do our own notes and then have an organic conversation. So you went to like a big idea, a trial. Mine were all daily acts of forgiveness. Like I never had a single milestone event like that, whereas obviously you picked a bigger milestone event to focus on.
Yeah, but the daily ones will eat at you just as much.
I think they eat at you more.
Yeah.
I think you have thousands, if not hundreds of millions of opportunities to create and maintain your pattern of forgiveness, whatever that is. And then it's just amplified in those milestone scenarios that you talked about.
Yeah, no, I think that's really smart. Because I think a lot of people don't forgive over small daily things, and they just think that's normal. And then it builds up, and they don't, you know, I think that it becomes part of your personality almost, right? Like I would say someone who is a pessimistic person, someone who, you know, you ask people, do you like people or do you not like people? I feel like there are a lot, like, you can learn a lot about a person if they think that people are inherently good or inherently bad, if they inherently like people or they inherently dislike people. And I think what you're talking about is a piece of that, or it helps them build the piece of that view of others. I mean, if you never forgive, then people are pretty terrible.
Right. Yeah. To me, you said it's about being self-centered. And I was thinking when you forgive, it's really about setting yourself free. I think what people haven't done many times, whether especially in the big milestone scenario like you discussed, you mentioned safety. Somewhere they're not forgiving themselves. They did something that contributed to the loved one getting hurt, but they're not going to talk publicly about that. And they're fearful that they could have done something different, and they haven't forgiven themselves. So then what do we do? Well, it's a principle. I'm not going to forgive this person too,
to try to cover it up for their guilt or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's, it's probably part of like the bargaining and justification, right, and all that stuff.
Rationalization.
Right? Yeah. Rationalizing the actions that they took. But I mean, ultimately I would say that forgiveness is a process, right? So it starts with starting to feeling wronged, right? So like, yep. if you feel wronged or hurt, and then you have anger and resentment, right? So surprise, feeling hurt, that turns into anger and resentment. And then only after that occurs do you then decide or have an option to forgive or not. So
I think the art of not forgiving is also a process. Mm. Because think about this. We have to constantly feed our resentment every day. To keep it alive, we have to replay it. It's hitting the replay button, yeah, on ESPN. It's, okay, replay that motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Here's what he did. Got to feed that negative feeling, that energy. Replay the whole scenario of events or the key parts of that chronology of events over and over in our head to feed the hate and anger. To me, not forgiving is much more of a process. You have to be disciplined in order to not forgive.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. And it's amazing how many people... Or to me, I feel it's the default, and I don't know why we've evolved that way, but it seems like when you're young, you know, like the default is to not forgive, and then over time you learn to forgive. Well, you know what? I don't know. I might flip that around.
Yeah, it was because I said I think it's an evolutionary process that we've learned in order to survive.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I forgave very easily, I think. I think I forgave very easily. And then it's weird how, like, you look at others and you learn not to forgive based on what you see around.
Well, finish this phrase. Forgive and?
Forget, yeah.
Women giving birth. How do they have more than one children, right? It's always talked about their ability to just forget.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you got to erase that.
Think about risk-taking in life. Think about relationship building. If we didn't have the ability to forgive, our brain would be at bandwidth capacity all the time because we'd be having to remember every single slight. Like, yeah. Oh, it's the principles. I got to remember all these things. Yeah. Like, you'd have a list of bullshit you'd have to go over and over every day.
Yeah, it would start with remembrance, and then it would start with – and then you'd have to do the recall, right?
Right.
Because there are a lot of things you remember that you don't recall all the time. So you'd have to then purposely recall it, and then you'd have to feel the negative emotion over again, and then let that – like you said, fuel your fire, and then you direct that pain and anger and resentment towards someone else. And that's...
It's very past-focused.
Oh, it's absolutely past-focused. I think it prevents you from living in the present.
Yes, absolutely. There's just such negativity there. But I think sometimes people are like, well, I need a fight. I have no fight. I have no war going on right now. Like, I need something to be competitive. And that's obviously some human nature as well.
Absolutely. Well, and I would say, I'm thinking about the difference between when you said forgiveness in the daily sense versus forgiveness over a huge event. And in the daily sense, as we're talking through the process, I think what I would say is the people who are able to do it in a daily way, I would call them petty. I think that's the best term that I would call.
Not forgiving in a daily way?
Yeah. They're petty. And little things happen, and they hold on to those little things, and they blame someone else, and then they hold on to it. But here's the thing. Because these things are little, they just remember it, but they don't recall it. You get what I'm saying? But then the next time they have an interaction with that person, the first thing they do is they recall a negative thing. They recall the blame, and then they say, that's why I don't like that person.
Yep.
And there are people like that who are just constantly negative, and those people generally are pessimists. They're generally the type of people you don't want to be around.
Again, to me, that goes back to a lack of self-love and a lack of self-compassion. And it's not, there's something going on deeper where they're not forgiving themselves for something. And so it's way easier to not focus on that and to focus on
and
not
to blame.
Yes. It's the shift from contribution to whatever scenario you got yourself into to creating a web of blame.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we were, so for example, we took an Uber last night out to dinner. And we were talking to the driver about, you know, things that he's had. He enjoys it overall, and he was a really happy, nice guy. But he was talking about interesting events. And he said one time this guy blamed him because it took 12 minutes to get somewhere when the guy's GPS said it should have taken 9. And literally as he's getting out of the car, he's like, why'd that take so long? That took 12 minutes. Should have taken 9. And he's like, I just was like, well, I just followed my GPS, man. I drove normally. I don't know what you want me to tell. You know what I mean? And it's like,
so, just an unhappy person.
Man, well, like you literally have to go out of your, in that instance, you have to go out of your way to notice something being wrong. And then you have to hold on to it and blame the other person, assign blame, and then hold on to that resentment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On the flip side, that driver then said to us, well, I know that guy's name, so if he ever needs a ride again, I'll just tell him, nope, can't ride with me, man. You know, we're like, okay, cool. That's just interesting because you're talking about daily forgiveness. We're talking about small things here. What could be more small and petty, you know?
3 minutes. Yeah, 3 minutes.
Gosh, these people are holding on to stuff and blaming people, yeah.
Well, forgiveness, apparently, its root word means to grant. So grant for compassion, grant a pardon. I like the idea of releasing resentments, releasing the past to allow yourself to be free to live in the present.
Perfect. I like that. The definition I got off, I don't know.
I mean, I just made all that up, dude.
I know, but you hit exactly what the definition, well, just about. There's only one thing missing. It says to cease to feel resentment against an offender. And then the second one is to give up resentment of or claim to requital. And that's the other part is claim to requital. Like you feeling like you're owed something. I think that that's part of non-forgiveness. Like you feel like you're owed something now.
Yeah, you can't demand an apology, in my opinion. To me, that's
well, I mean, if you're
inauthentic.
But these, I mean, if you are a non-forgiver, that's exactly
doing. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Demanding an apology is not part of authentic forgiveness.
Oh, absolutely.
I think we're in agreement there.
Absolutely. Which is funny when you hear people say, well, I forgive them, but.
Yeah. Anytime there's a forgive ... but, that's not real forgiveness.
Yep.
The opposite of forgiveness is to withhold. So to withhold love, respect, trust, compassion.
Well, it's trying to get that requital. It's trying to have consequences. It's trying to impart consequences on the offender. It's trying to get justice.
Yeah.
Right? And that withholding could be part of. That could be the way that you're trying to get justice.
Yeah, grudging. I mean, that's the whole. Non-forgiveness is grudging. Yep. Again, that replay.
But I feel like it could be an act of attack, too.
No, yeah,
not just
sure.
Withholding.
Grudging, I guess, would be the neutral.
Yeah, exactly.
Aspect, and you can get more aggressive with it.
Yep. Yeah,
but to me, that again, it's just placing yourself at the center of the world.
That's exactly.
Something happened in the past, so I need to replay it. That I was wrong. Zach was wrong.
Right.
The world wronged Zach, and I need to remind myself of that.
Right. So until I get the justice that I want, I will continue to feel this pain.
That's crazy. It's a replay of emotional pain over and over. Think about that.
Yeah, it is. It's
that
awful.
Suggests to me psychologically that person is lacking in so many emotional areas that the one emotional stimulation they're giving, they're it's like they're fucking electric shocking themselves over and over emotionally on their own.
But people don't realize that. People see it as I don't know why, but people don't become introspective and think about it in that way. They don't realize, okay, look, whoever wronged me, I want them to feel bad in the way that I'm feeling now. And so I'm going to...
Emotional contagion.
Do something, you know, I'm going to demand that they be punished, or I'm going to whatever. It's like you want them to feel guilty. You want them to recognize how they made you feel, and you want them to feel bad equally, right?
Right.
So I think there's guilt. Guilt is a thing in this equation. It's desiring for the other person to feel guilt. Is it not?
I agree. To me, it's about being disturbed. I'm disturbed because of what you did to me. So I need to do whatever I can in my head to make sure you're disturbed. And even if the only way I can disturb you is to not grant you compassion, love, or trust, or forgiveness, then that's what's going to happen. It's remembering that other people have emotional issues going on in bad situations, and we forget that they might be disturbed, and maybe that's why they did what they did to us. And so it's, instead of just saying, you know, I forgive the fact that they had a bad day, it's like, nope.
Yeah.
They upset me, so I'm going to, in my own head, even they might not even know.
Yeah.
Think about, okay, forgiveness is often, or non-forgiveness is often a private act. You might not even share the fact that you haven't forgiven the other person. They might just be going on as if they don't even know they slighted you or whatever. And you're just holding on to that internally completely and not having shared that.
Yeah.
Resentment. That's even crazier.
And I think the when we talk about daily forgiveness, the people that I was describing earlier, the negative people, I think they do that over and over and over again. And they just build this negativity inside of them. Oh, that's got to feel awful. Just think about it. They go to the dry cleaner and there's a spot on their shirt still, and they just hold on to it.
Yeah, that's
they're like,
weird.
Oh, that lady who cleaned my shirt. I'll never let her do that again.
It's too heavy without forgiveness.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked the idea of, I wrote down mental. We don't have the mental, or at least I don't. I don't have the mental bandwidth, or maybe because I piss off so many people the way I live. If I wasn't able to forgive and apologize and help, you know, if I feel wronged, I couldn't live.
Yeah. I think that all makes sense. And I would say, you know, in order to get to the process of forgiving, so I never got to the end of the process, the end of the process of forgiving after you feel wronged or hurt, and then it turns into anger and resentment, then the way that you end up forgiving is you start to have a more like empathetic view of the person who offended you and or wronged you and the event that occurred, right? So you try to start thinking of the things that you talked about. Maybe they were having a bad day. Maybe there was something else that was outside of their control.
They were disturbed.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever the reason is. So you start, you know, looking at things throughout their view, from their point of view. And then that makes negative feelings start to feel a little bit lower, right?
Right.
And so if you start to feel less actively negative and, you know, desiring consequence against someone, and you're thinking about, okay, this is maybe what was going on in their head, or maybe they had a hard day. Now you're increasing compassion because you're starting to try to be empathetic, right? So this can happen over time. And then at some point, and I think this is that definition part about the claim to requital. At some point, you feel like, okay, fine. I'm done with this. I'm moving on. I'm giving up the right or desire to punish the offender or whatever.
Interesting.
What do you think about that?
No, I don't know.
And then you're like, and then you're ready to move on. And then you're ready, you know, and then whenever you recall that event, you can say, yeah, that it was a shame that that happened. How? And then you can talk in a more neutral tone as if, you know, you're an outside party who has experienced it and dealt with it and moved on.
Yeah, I think some people can, for whatever reason, whether it's nature, nurture, they can get there more easily. They can access that ability to do that you described more easily, whereas other people have to train them, recognize that they can't, they're not doing that, and then train themselves to try to do that.
I'd love to hear. I would imagine, and I'd love to do an experiment where you took people who were naturally able to forgive people, and I think they would be high in like self-love and
right
and introspection, and then you took people who were the opposite, who tended to not forgive, they tended to hold on to resentment. And I would wonder, if you would ask them to tell stories about events for which forgiveness was required, for where they felt wronged, I would imagine, and I don't know that this is true, but if you were to do this experiment, I would imagine that the people who forgive easily would start telling it like a third-party observer at some point, and they would put in elements of the offender's point of view. So they would say, so this is what happened. This person did this to me, and I felt wronged and all this stuff. However, you know, that person may have been going through X, Y, and Z, and then later I found out that this happened. So they probably would give both sides of the story, and then they would say, regardless, I've forgiven him and I've moved on. Now, they don't have to say they like him or they're friends with him or anything, right, but they've forgiven that and they've moved on. So I would say like liking and friendship doesn't have to be part of forgiveness. But then I would imagine if you ask the person who tends to hold on to resentment, even in a situation where they said that they had forgiven someone, they would say, this person did this to me. Then they would talk about their feelings and how awful it was. And then they would say, but I've gotten over it and I forgive them.
Yeah, but that's obvious they haven't.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I forgive them. And then there might even be a but in there. Like they haven't given up the right to try to punish the guy yet.
As our Buddhist brethren remind us, life is suffering. Life is suffering, meaning every day we wake up, we want and desire certain things. I want this right now. I want this coffee to be hotter than it is.
I want it, but it's not. To regenerate because I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out. More. And it's like, that's, again, a very small act of suffering. And then it gets much larger from there. So while you were talking about that, it made me think about, I don't think forgiveness is the end, the ultimate goal. I think post-forgiveness is where you are so enlightened and in tune with your self-love, and at the same time, you're selfless. There's not even a need to forgive because you really understand things are as the way they are and as the way they were meant to be and going to be in this moment. And I can't change any of it. So it's just post-forgiveness because you are to the point where this is just life.
Yeah.
And I for me at least, I might have very momentary flashes of that, but I'm not, and you know, in terms of the enlightenment spectrum, I'm not that.
Well, and I would think taking that and so knowing that and knowing it truly, and to the point where you feel like, you know, there are moments in life where you just feel like zen. You just feel this positive whatever. Like what you said, like the world is as it should be. Every once in a while, I don't know why, and it's few and far between, but I'll have, and these moments seem fleeting, right? Where I look around and everything just seems right. Everything seems as it should be. Knowing what enlightenment is and actually applying it in your day-to-day life to the point where you achieve that state, that's the key. And that's the hardest thing that I think there is in life. Because I don't think I don't know. I mean, maybe there are people out there who, you know, Buddhist monks who are able to just meditate all day long, who can achieve enlightenment in those sorts of states for prolonged periods of time. But
yeah, but to me, that's easier.
For me, it's just
that's fleeting. Easier. If you're not out in the world bumping into humans right. Who have slights and forgivenesses, well, fuck. If I'm in a mountain by myself, you know, oh, yeah, it's easy for me to forgive. I don't run into humans.
Right, right. Yeah,
that's a cop out.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. Well, so that's what I'm saying is like taking that awareness and applying it to every situation that you go through throughout the day. That's the hard part.
Yeah. Give me I respect Buddhists, but right when you, even today, when you conjure that name, you think of people in salmon colored robes mm-hmm. with bald shaved heads. Yeah. Well, I want to take them and throw them in New York City for a month and observe them, because obviously if they're true at what they do, they are that post-forgiveness, in my opinion, because they understand this is all just how it is, and mm-hmm. it's all part of what it's meant to be.
Yeah.
To me, if you're good at naturally forgiving, or you've disciplined yourself to become good at that, that for me, the art of selflessness and not trying to put yourself at the center of the world all the time, you understand you're the importance of meanings. You're trying to live a meaningful life. You've hierarchically arranged the meanings and prioritized, okay, being in the present now is more important than lugging around this past memory and this hurt. So I'm going to let that go.
Values.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I agree with you 100%.
Well, to me, it's about a meaningful life, and you've chosen, I want to find happy meanings.
Yes.
Satisfaction and fulfillment.
Yes.
But I guess, obviously, people that are lugging around all that BS, they believe that that's fulfillment for them.
Yeah.
They must feel fulfilled.
There is like an open transaction that must be closed for them in order for them to be fulfilled.
Interesting. You use the word transaction. That is very the business of not forgiving.
Oh, God.
Whereas instead, forgiving is more transformational, transforming, changing, altering, evolving yourself and what happened versus the business of hating and grudging.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry, it's just business.
Exactly. I mean, it's sort of synonymous to accepting that things are going to happen in your life that you don't want to happen and that you don't have control over. And yet you accepting that fact and moving on and saying that I'm going to take the positive from it. I'm going to, somebody said last night. So last night I went to a dinner for transplant survivors that Barnes Jewish Hospital puts on every year. Amazing. And they have speakers.
Transplant for what?
Well, for multiple things, gotcha. Often cancer, but other things too. And they have a couple speakers, usually transplant survivors who have really amazing stories, and sometimes they say some impactful things. The one that stuck with me last night was a woman who had a stem cell transplant for leukemia, and then 10 years later, a double lung transplant.
Wow.
From the complications of all of it. So her story was, obviously amazing. And she was up there and you would have no idea. She was totally healthy. But what she said that stuck with me is she said, well, and that's the thing about life, right? Take what you like and leave the rest. And I was like, that's a really simple statement that is so powerful and meaningful. I think it summarizes just about everything that we're talking about here, right? As you move through life, take what you like. And leave the rest.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I mean, if you're going to live in the present, if you're not going to dwell on the past, right? If you're going to feel, if you're going to maximize positive emotions, if what we say is true and that life is just a combination of the emotions
but
that
if
you
what,
feel.
What if you, no, I agree with all that. But then my brain, for whatever reason, goes to, yes, cool, but also live your true authentic self. Well, what if your true authentic self gets kicks out of being a dick to everyone else? And I'm thinking of somebody that's got a pretty powerful position in this country right now.
I don't think that that's your true authentic self, dude.
But if it's not, but that's the image that you project all the time to everyone on any public stage.
It's the character that you've built, but all the world's a stage.
But what is that motive? What is that doing and connecting to others? It's playing to the worst
and it's
of people.
But ultimately, it's hurting yourself. Okay. This is a perfect time for this. So I had taken these notes off of what the impact is of resentment and holding on to resentment. And this was from a Psychology Today article. And so I'm just going to read this paragraph because this addresses exactly what you're talking about. Psychologically, when people reported higher levels of forgiveness or of non-forgiveness or sorry, when the people reported higher levels of forgiveness, they also tended to report better health habits and decreased depression, anxiety, and anger levels. Even in betrayed couples, greater levels of forgiveness were associated with more satisfied relationships, stronger parenting alliance, and children's perceptions of parenting functioning well. Physiologically, higher reported levels of forgiveness or lower levels of forgiveness were associated with lower white blood cell count and hemocrit levels. And white blood cells are an integral part of fighting off diseases and infections. So together, those results highlight the importance of forgiveness, not just for the other person, but for you. Don't allow your mind and body to go through another day feeling vengeful and angry.
I love it, but let me put on my PhD hat. In me, the first thing, I'm like, okay, I need to know the methodology of this study.
Well, sure.
There is a lot.
Do you doubt it?
No, I agree, and instinctually, I'm like, ooh, I want to agree. So then that's when my PhD radar goes off and goes, uh-oh, you need to look for falsification, not verification, right?
Yeah, but I don't.
Well, I know, but that's not your training. A scientist's training is as soon as your internal mechanism is saying, oh, yeah, that sounds good, that's when you should say, okay, how did they conduct the study? The amount of extraneous variables that they'd have to try to control for and say, this is coming from forgiveness.
No doubt.
That's
no doubt.
Fucking ridiculous.
Causation and correlation is a problem here.
I like what it says. I'll leave it there.
I like what it says, too. I don't see how you defend the opposite.
No. Oh, but I'll just leave it at that. I like what it says. It's very warm and fuzzy.
All right.
Forgiveness gives us all that. I think who's the most difficult person to forgive?
Yourself.
Yourself or then God.
God.
What God just did to us, man.
Yeah.
So that victim mentality, that external locus of control.
Why does this always happen to me?
Yeah, why does this happen to me? Why did God give me cancer twice? Just all of that. And again, I think it ties back to just choices or regrets. And not with cancer, but you got to think about where's my locus of control? What can I control? What can't I control? And yep, this is the lot in life I got. These are the cards I got. How can I best play them? That's how I try to look at it. If I can't change the way the cards are dealt, I get a hand. Let's try to play it.
So does it all go back to resentment then? Resentment against another is what we've been talking about. Or resentment against the universe,
yeah,
against God.
Tolstoy wrote, he did not like the dreariness of life, and he believed that the noblest solution to it was suicide, and that but he didn't have the willpower to take that necessary action.
What an awful viewpoint.
Yeah, that's what the Russian society that he grew up in, that was his conclusion for how to solve the problem of life.
Gosh. Awful.
So he wasn't experiencing much forgiveness in that society.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, going back to the physiological benefits, though, like, I will say, it's consistent with my understanding, despite not being a scientific understanding, that negative emotions are correlated, and I'm just talking in general, negative emotions are correlated with illness.
No, I like it. I get it. I'm not saying what they did was scientifically not rigorous, but I know a lot of scientists would have issues with that.
Oh, I guarantee there are plenty out there.
That's what they do. Their job is to then, how do we measure an intangible, ephemeral construct like forgiveness? I mean, it's very difficult.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And if you think about what the study must have been, how could they have been so specific
it's self-reporting, so there's a lot of issues with the measurement instrument of a self-report.
Yep. And how – yes, absolutely. Because you can't
– there's no objective scale.
It's really interesting. It reminds me of when I was in the hospital, they would come in and they'd be like, how much pain do you feel today? On a scale of 1 to 10.
On a scale of 1 to 10. Here's a perfect example.
Know.
What I would feel is different than what Tyson Scott would feel, my buddy from Texas. Whose pain threshold is just off the chart. He's inhuman.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Versus what I would feel or my kid might feel.
And that's just, we're talking about nerves and physical pain. So now we admit something that we understand the mechanism of. We fully understand the mechanism of how that works, and we can't really measure that accurately. So how in the heck are we going to accurately measure true emotions on how people feel?
Can we take it to a more abstract level?
Yeah.
Where we're at in modern society, the judicial system, our system of justice, has played a role into where we are as a, where we have developed as a society. The entire institution of law and justice, at least as I see it in the United States and Western countries, has banned forgiveness and apology from its arena.
It has.
Do not apologize or forgive. Don't even talk about those things. That will show we're guilty.
It has. And there are, like, especially egregious examples of that where there are certain crimes, you know, there's the ability to press charges. At least there's that idea in U.S. law, right? But, and so there, maybe there's some room for forgiveness there, right? Nope, I don't want to press charges. I forgive, okay? But there are even examples now where they've written laws where
but you, that to
you,
me, to
where
me,
the state presses charges, you don't get right. a choice.
But yes, but you're saying not entering the system. Once you're in the system, not pressing charges is saying I'm not walking into that arena.
Mm.
I'm saying once you're in the arena is saying these things aren't part of our process.
Once the charges are levied, there is no forgiveness.
Our whole system of, quote, justice has cut out forgiveness and apology like a cancer to the healing and verdict that occurs from that process.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And that's why things like mediation and holistic approaches to solving disputes to me is much healthier, because those things can be part of that process, but and it's not part of our legal process. And then again, there's entire it's approaching justice. It's called restorative justice. Anyway, we could get down that, but the whole point of restorative justice is placing forgiveness and apology and acceptance at the center, and growth and transformation rather than, quote, justice.
And that word restore in that instance, I would say, is what we've been talking about. You're not restoring anything other than positive emotion, or at least neutral emotion, in the person who is holding on to the resentment. That's what's being restored. Am I wrong?
Well, self-love. Again, when we forgive and forget, we're a lot trying to love ourselves, because when you're not, you're saying, I'm going to hold on to these negative emotions and these negative things internally. That isn't self-love. Holding on to negative energy, if there is those positive correlations, all that negative health stuff, you're literally making, it's like drinking alcohol every day.
Yeah.
It's emotional alcohol or emotional cocaine.
Do you think that there are things that are big enough, offenses, wrongs, things that someone could do against you that is big enough that you shouldn't forgive?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Let's say you got molested as a child.
Mm, yeah, a tough one. Anything that involves the kids. Yeah, right? The idea of enlightenment would be to, once you're old enough to try to grapple with that, yeah, I think if you're able to forgive, it would be great.
Yeah, so what you're saying, though, you said it would be good if someone can forgive.
It'd be great, yeah.
It would be great if someone could forgive. So I guess your ultimate answer to, is there something that's big enough that you shouldn't forgive, your ultimate answer is no.
I guess my ultimate, most honest answer is I don't know. Because I luckily have not had any kind of major negative incident, trauma like that in my life, at least to me, or the closest people to me that I've had to grapple with, that I've been put in the scenario to determine whether I even have the capacity to forgive or not. So it's tough for me to judge others if, you know, in a scenario where their kids are molested or they were molested as a kid, and be like, you should forgive.
I like that answer. I don't know. But I would say, as I sit here today, since I haven't been in that situation, like you said, you haven't either, then I have to just use my imagination machine to try and simulate what that would like be like. And I can't imagine a situation where I would want to never forgive. I can't imagine a situation where I would want to die with resentment.
Oh, no, God, no.
And is that what not forgiving is, I guess, is the question. So far as I can tell, it is.
Okay, here it is. You send your grade school age kid to a football camp. And who's running that football camp? Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? That makes it real concrete and real. Okay. And then that shit happens.
And then you have to forgive them.
Or you're given the choice.
Yeah, you're given the choice.
The opportunity to forgive or not. I don't know. I don't know if I could. I'd like to. Let me say that. Because I want to sound good on this podcast. I'd like to be able to forgive them, but I don't know if I could.
I'll say it not because I want to sound good on this podcast, because we just talked about what the...
Yeah, it's probably the right thing to do.
For yourself.
Yes, of course. But I'm telling you, I know how I am internally. I don't know if I could.
Well, if you ever achieved enlightenment...
Well, Dave apparently is much easily to forgive molesters in our society, everybody. So Zach will hold on to that grudge a little more indefinitely, apparently.
No, that's the thing. Like knowing, like it's like what we said about enlightenment. I think knowing what is right or ideal versus living what is right or ideal is it's two different things. It's two different things.
Yeah. Okay, here's another one that might be closer to home for us. The whole Catholic Church, all that stuff going on with all the sexual allegations and molestations and all of that. We grew up Catholic, you know. There's another one very close to home. So then who do you end up hating? God, the church, all of that stuff.
Yeah, there's blame. It's the blame game.
And again, to me, it goes back to I thought I was providing a safe environment for my child by sending them to a Catholic upbringing, a Catholic school, putting them around people who are supposed to exude divine excellence on this planet. And then that kind of happens. Man, it's really tough not to forgive. Or,
so then as a parent,
or to forgive, I mean.
As a parent or guardian, then, what you're doing there is you're assigning, like you said at the very beginning, right? You're assigning blame to the church or whatever, God, whoever did the thing. But you're really ultimately feeling guilt.
Yes.
Because you're feeling like you're partially responsible.
Right. Because you put them in the scenario.
Because you put them in that situation. And so now,
as if you could have known.
Right, exactly. So you haven't really gotten over your own guilt.
Correct.
In order to be able to forgive someone else in that situation. Or to let go of the resentment against another.
Yep.
Yeah, so ultimately, I don't know, man. Here's my conclusion, and then we can do...
Sure.
Change challenges.
Sure.
This is my conclusion. My conclusion is, regardless of whether you can or can't, you should forgive, because it ties back to everything that we've talked about in I don't know how many episodes, which is that life is short. Life, you know, money. You don't take money to the grave. You don't take anything. All life is, when it's all said and done, is a collection of how you have felt throughout your life.
And how you interacted with others.
And how you
and that leads to how you feel.
Yep. And so if life is about maximizing positivity and how you feel, it's about maximizing positive emotions, then resentment doesn't have a place in that. It doesn't have a place there. So somehow, some way, no matter how hard it is, you got to realize that what is best for you is to forgive.
Yeah, the questions I always go back to when somebody's thinking about changing jobs, and I think this applies here, is does my current job make me happy and fulfilled, or relate to me being happy and fulfilled? Does it bring out the best in me, and does it allow me to bring out the best in others at times? And if any of the answers are no, if one is no, then it's like, well, maybe. If two are no, it's like, well, I probably shouldn't change. And then if all three are no, it's like, well, then, you know, definitely not. To me, it's the same thing with forgiveness. It's like, if you're not forgiving and you're holding resentments, there's no way you're able to bring out the best in others, and you're not putting forward the best in yourself, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because all your potentiality of love and goodness and compassion that could come out is being suffocated by all that negativity and hate that you're holding on to.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Well, you want to do change challenge?
Yeah, do you have one?
I mean, obviously the easy one is... Forgive someone. Forgive yourself for something. But how do you do that? I mean, maybe we do a lot of inventories. I wonder how many people do them, because those are scary and tough. But putting down on paper a resentment inventory, what do I carry around every day?
That's so I would say do it. We've talked about the macro and the micro. We've talked about big events that have happened to you that you have to forgive about. And then you talked about, the daily.
Right.
So let my change challenge be about the daily. as you walk around in a day, notice the times where you feel wrong.
Slighted.
You feel slighted. You feel anger, right? No matter how small. It could be because the Uber driver took 3 minutes.
Do they not know who I am? Do they not know who they're dealing with?
Right. And make an inventory of those.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Think about those. Well, because I think you can do it two ways. I think.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I think you can, at the end of a, you know, like sitting in bed, you can try to make a big inventory of life, you know, things that have happened to you that you haven't forgiven. But or you could just walk throughout your day. And you don't. When I say make an inventory, I don't mean you even have to write it down. I just mean mentally note every time that you're feeling slighted and wronged, and then the process that you go through, and understand yourself better as to whether you by default let it go or by default hold on to it.
That's all at 7 minutes 50 seconds till about 8:15. I like that. I'll take it a little different direction. That's a great start for me. Do those things on the daily one, but instead of just trying to be reflective about your process, try to actively nourish those slights for the whole day and remember them and not forgive all the little slights, all the guy cut me off and the dry cleaner took too long and this and that, and nourish them and try to replay them so that when you get home with your spouse or a friend or whoever, your kid, you can go through all those and list them out and try to hold on to that and just see how petty it is.
I love that. You know? With the goal of recounting it to someone.
Yeah, you
got to
talk about them.
Yeah. And to explain to that person how terrible your day was.
What if, would forgiveness look different if before, it's emotional nourishment of some emotion. What if you had to articulate the mental process you're going through in order to get to that emotional state that you're seeking? Because obviously you're seeking some emotional state through the resentment management process or through the forgiveness process, and you had to verbalize what you're doing mentally. That'd be freaky.
Well, I think that's a great change challenge, because if you do it to an absurd level, which I think is what your change challenge is saying, then that illuminates the absurdity of doing it everywhere. Right?
Don't be absurd, people. Just forgive. Forgive yourself first.
Yeah, absolutely. Forgive yourself forgive, let go of resentment, and do it like the beginning started, right? Do it for yourself. Choose yourself.
Be kind. Choose yourself by being selfless.
I love it.
Nice. Well, as we say at Life Lab, experiment with life.